Hello, everybody, and welcome to this month's CCSI podcast titled Got Tech, episode number 8, titled Cryptocurrency and Everything You Wanted to Know About Cryptocurrency But Were Afraid to Ask. So I'm Larry Biancully, today's host, and with me for today's discussion is Matt Pascucci, CCSI's Cybersecurity Practice Manager. So Matt, welcome to today's podcast. We're really thrilled to have you here, and I'm sure you're chomping on the bit to talk about cryptocurrency, so good day to you.
Thanks, Larry. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely, right? So I guess let's get right into it, Matt, right? So, you know, with today, everything that we pick up, the newspaper, I even have my grandmother asking me about if I'm invested in Bitcoin. And I ask her if she knows what Bitcoin is, and she seems to think that it's some kind of 21st century unicorn, which at that point I have to laugh at her. But in all seriousness, right, so let's dive right into it, right? So if you could take just a minute and really explain to our listeners, what is cryptocurrency? Is it really that 21st century unicorn, or is it the money of the future or somewhere in between?
So a little bit about Bitcoin, cryptocurrency in general, you know, blockchain. You can't speak about one without the other. Essentially what's going on right now is Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. There is multiple other ones out there. They call them altcoins. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But what's going on right now is people are using this type of currency, this electronic or cryptocurrency, and it's not centralized. You know, it's completely decentralized. There's no banks involved. There's no governments involved. And it's somewhat scaring these old school institutions into doing things that people couldn't do in the past. So what's happening now is you have people that could be from Asia that are, you know, communicating directly with people who are in Africa, who are in, you know, all these other continents, and they don't have to go through a physical processor anymore. And, you know, that's saving off fees. It's making things more efficient. It's scaring governments due to potential money laundering. We, you know, have all these technologies that are good and looking out for the good. There's always people who are using them in weird and malicious ways. But it's revolutionary, it's disruptive. Those are the words you hear a lot of times with Bitcoin. You see ransomware has used it many times in the past because of its anonymous ways, especially with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is very anonymous, but at the time it's not also very private, and we're seeing a lot of these coins now switch into more of a privacy, you know, way of dealing with the transactions, which is kind of cool, to be honest. But it is not a company. Bitcoin is not a company, it's more of a standard. You can think of it also as, you know, with Bitcoin and blockchain, they're kind of together. You can't have one without the other. With that, you would think of Bitcoin as a website and the blockchain as the internet. One rides on top of the other. And just because Bitcoin is there right now doesn't mean that others will pop up. It doesn't mean that there'll be other applications that will also run off blockchain technologies as well. And, you know, I think that is the biggest thing that we're going to start seeing, is other things riding off the top of it. But from a decentralized standpoint, it's a fiat currency, meaning that it is a legal tender and it's not backed by a physical commodity like gold or diamonds or something like that. It's similar to the US dollar, where we're not taking the gold standard anymore. But it's something of value. So when we create that value, we have it there and we can use it for a currency. But that's kind of where we are right now with a super high level version or overview of Bitcoin.
Yeah, interesting, right? So, you know, I remember reading somewhere about cryptocurrency that it was actually started as a side project. It was never intended to be some kind of currency. So where did it originally come from? I mean, we hear different stories, and, you know, like anything else, right? There's a legend to this, right? But really, if you trace it back, you know, you hear that it came out about 10 years ago. You know, I think even Al Gore said he invented it at one point.
Yeah, he's invented everything. But so it comes down to, there's forums, there's things, there's, you know, crypto forums, and this particular person, multiple people, group, they don't know if it's a guy or girl or multiple people, but the handle is Satoshi Nakamoto. He has, or she has, or they have created the framework for what Bitcoin is. Essentially, they were able to go out there and solve a problem of being able to go out and have decentralized transactions or decentralized ways of communicating without having someone in the middle take its place for there. What has occurred at this point is that this person started something. worked with a or group has worked with multiple other people. It's been vetted out. There's been a paper made on it. And essentially, once it launched and this worked, this particular entity, this person, disappeared and has no longer been within this community anymore. Many people have stepped up saying that they are this particular person. And after validation or asking them to sign certain things with private keys that only this entity, Satoshi Nakamoto, has, they always then defer back to they weren't this group or person. So that's the legend part of it. No one knows who created Bitcoin. It's been done as a community after this person initialized it. But to that extent, there are 21 million Bitcoins out of this. There is going to be a cap. I think we're somewhere around 17 million now or 15 million now. But that will lead up to, as we see other, Bitcoin miners, or you call them miners, that are now out there trying to develop and get and use Bitcoin to make a profit. But that's kind of where we are right now. And no one knows who created it. There is a particular person or group who did do it. But at this point, it's more legend than anything.
So it was an Al Gore.
I can't say it wasn't.
All right. Well, we'll have to check back on that one.
We'll have
right?
to ask Al.
So being a cybersecurity person myself, I would say probably the last 5 years, we've been coming more and more across a concern within customer organizations about Bitcoin mining, right? And that, customers or the newer technologies now allow to, see if customers are having these Bitcoin miners, use the resources within these organizations. So let's just do a quick conversation. What exactly is a Bitcoin miner?
So you need miners. This is how Bitcoin was developed. They need miners. So miners pretty much facilitate two things. They validate the transactions that are on the blockchain from Bitcoin, and they go out there, they put those blocks back onto the blockchain to show that these transactions have happened, and as well as at the same time developing new coins. So what is occurring at this point is you're seeing more and more people going out there to go out and develop and get compensation by being the first ones to go out and solve these mathematical equations. And as the limit of Bitcoin decreases, the computations get higher and higher. So we're seeing people have these Bitcoin farms or these miner farms that are looking to solve these highly difficult mathematical computations, where they're now needing more electricity and heating and GPUs, and you're seeing these GPUs, which were used with gaming before, the gaming industry is taking a hit because now they're so expensive. But they have a legitimate need to keep the system going. You need miners there. You need to have miners who are going to validate the transactions. So every 10 minutes, there's a block added to the Bitcoin blockchain. And from there, it gets added. And you can think of a blockchain, and I've heard this description once before, I thought it was pretty good, as a fly in the amber, as you see like in Jurassic Park, when you have the fly, he's stuck in the amber. Once it's put in there, it never leaves. So you can always see those transactions going backwards on who did what and who touched what. So those blocks are added once every 10 minutes. Whoever solves a computation first gets a reward, and that reward's usually in Bitcoin, so you can make a decent amount of money doing that. But the more and more that Bitcoin is used, the harder it is for these computations to actually be accomplished and the more hardware you need. So what's funny now is in order to actually get Bitcoin through being Bitcoin miners, you have to start using normal currency like dollars in order to fund your Bitcoin, which wasn't used for that. Bitcoin is supposed to be very decentralized, and we're seeing things now where you have to use centralized currency to actually afford to get Bitcoin. So they solve a few different areas of validating transactions, putting them into the blocks, solving the equations, and then when it's done correctly, they add those new blocks to the Bitcoin blockchain, and then that gets sent to all the others on the network.
Wow! So it's quite a process with that, huh?
Sure, yeah, it's complicated, and we're seeing a lot of people as well. We have these guys who are making malicious malware, so it's like sitting there in ads. It's using your workstation's CPUs, so they can go out there and use some of your processes and your resources, so they don't have to go spend their electricity.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah. So Matt, we've talked a lot in these last few minutes about cryptocurrencies and specifically Bitcoin. So just in the remaining time that we have left, what are some of the other currencies that are out there today besides Bitcoin?
So there's a few. I think the largest one is Bitcoin. It's always going to be the largest. It's been the most expensive. When Bitcoin floats up, all the other prices of the other cryptocurrencies float up. When it floats down, everything else takes a hit. So it's still the standard out there. It is also not the most flexible. So you look at other ones like Ethereum. Ethereum is another cryptocurrency, but it's more of a blockchain-based approach where they have other apps that can ride on top of it. So you can look at Ethereum maybe one day using being used for voting or using as like a notary or anything else that can run on top of it. You have Litecoin, another one. And then you're seeing a lot of these other coins being developed, these altcoins they're called, that are essentially for privacy. Monroe is one of them. Dash is another one. So these ones are using now a little more in the dark web because Bitcoin essentially is anonymous, but you know who's paying who. So that's how when we start looking at these ransomware attacks, we know how much they cost because we can see the wallets and who actually paid. Where in the privacy coins, that's not the case. Everything is somewhat mixed and you don't know who's sending what or who's receiving what. And it's a good way of being a little more private on the payments. But Bitcoin, they call it a fork. So once the blockchain changes, anything changes within there, that's how we have Bitcoin Cash right now. So there was a standard change within the old version of Bitcoin. They switched the blockchain. Everything else now is called Bitcoin Cash. And everything going forward is considered the new version of Bitcoin. But every time there's a hard fork, that old version of that cryptocurrency stays with a different name and they continue on with the current implementation.
Mm. So a tweet just came in and one of our tweeters wants to know which president is on the front of the Bitcoin.
Which president? Well, it's decentralized, so Al Gore.
There you go. All righty. So we're coming to the end of time here for this particular segment. So Matt, I'd like to thank you for taking time here today to share some of your knowledge and thoughts with respect to cryptocurrency and the things we've talked about. And I'd like to thank our listening audience for your time in listening to this. And this is part one. So if you found this to be interesting and informative, please look for part two, which will be coming up next month in CCSI's Podcast Got Tech series. So this is Larry Biancully, and for now, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you at the next discussion around cryptocurrencies. Thanks for now.